Today we want to share with you In the Worst of Times. About 2,700 years ago, the Babylonian army invaded Israel. Nebuchadnezzar led his army in this campaign against Jerusalem. The Bible says that his whole army laid siege to Jerusalem for 1.5 years. The famine began in the city after a few months. Famine of both water and food. People began perishing. Sickness began stalking through the streets of the city. Until finally, after about 18 months, the city fell to the Babylonian army. The Bible says the Babylonian army set fire to the royal palace and the houses and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. Basically, they devastated the city. Nebuchadnezzar was so angry against these rebellious Jews that they completely leveled the city. There was nothing left except mounds of ruins and heaps of shards. But before the Babylonians conquered the city, a man named Jeremiah lived among the starving population of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was persecuted terribly by the Jews. But a Cushite, a non-Jew named Ebed-Melech, befriended Jeremiah. Basically, Ebed-Melech saved Jeremiah from execution. And during the worst of times, when people were dying on the left and on the right, whenever the city was crumbling, whenever children were starving, whenever there were too many corpses to pick up, in the worst of times, the Lord spoke to Ebed-Melech through Jeremiah. And listen to what he said in Jeremiah 39, verse 17 and 18.
I will rescue you on that day, declares the Lord. You will not be handed over to those you fear. I will save you. You will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life because you trust in me, declares the Lord.
In the midst of all this ruin and chaos and destruction and despair, the Lord spoke to Ebed-Melech through Jeremiah and said, you trust in me? I'm going to save you. I'm going to rescue you. And as I read this, I thought, here we are in the 21st century. We just came to the 20th century. In fact, many scholars call the 20th century the age of violence. We started the 21st century the same way. Violence on the left and on the right. Every continent affected by violence. It's the worst of times in many, many ways. And the Lord wants to help you and me make it through. Let me share with you today how we survive the worst of times. In the worst of times, God rescues us from disaster's ruinous effect. You see, God doesn't remove us from the middle of disaster. Many, many Christians have gone through disasters. I know in the tsunami over in Asia, many churches were destroyed. I imagine some Christians lost their lives, as well as, you know, non-Christians. So you see, God doesn't promise to remove us from the middle of disaster. He says He will deliver us from disaster's ruinous effect. Read with me, please, what God said to Ebed-Melech. So let's turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 39, and read verses 16 through 18.
Go and tell Ebed-Melech the Cushite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will rescue you on that day, declares the Lord. You will not be handed over to those you fear. I will save you. You will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life, because you trust in me, declares the Lord.
There the Lord said, Ebed-Melech, you will see disaster. You will see the fall of Jerusalem. You will see the Babylonian armies invading the city, destroying the temple, burning the houses, and demolishing the walls. You will see it all. But I will rescue you. So the Lord is saying to you and me, He will rescue us from disaster's ruinous effect. What is disaster's effect? Anger. Anger against God. So often when disaster strikes, we want to doubt God's word, but God is saying, no, I will keep you strong. Your faith in my word will not fluctuate during the time of disaster. Another horrible effect of disaster is bitterness. We become bitter against ourselves, against this person or that person, and maybe even the Lord. But God is saying, no, you can live in the last days. You can live in the world full of disaster and tragedy without being affected by its ruinous bitterness, hatefulness. You can remain sweet in your spirit. Look at the scriptures with me. Joseph was 17 years old when his brothers attempted to murder him. They changed their mind. Instead of murdering him, they sold him into Egyptian bondage, and he was carried away from the security of his homeland, from the security of his loving father, Jacob. And there, as a teenager, he lived among a people whose language he did not understand at first. Years later, Joseph's brothers, his 10 older brothers who had sold him into Egyptian bondage, visited Egypt. Joseph was now second in command of the whole country of Egypt. He had the power to execute his brothers. But I want you to notice his sweet words to them. Genesis 45, verse 5 and verse number 8.
And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.
There he said, do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. No bitterness whatsoever. Verse 8.
So then it was not you who sent me here, but God.
Isn't that grand? Joseph was not rescued from tragedy. God did not shield him from being rejected by his brothers, sold into Egyptian bondage, and then betrayed in Egypt and thrown into prison without even committing a crime. But Joseph was surrounded by disaster, but disaster never got into Joseph. He said, my brothers, I will save you. I will rescue you. I will provide for your families. And then, of course, there was Jesus. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, deserving of nothing but worship, glorification, and adoration. And yet, mankind took Jesus, betrayed him, tortured him, persecuted him, and hung him on a cross. And yet on that cross, you see, disaster never got into Jesus. He remained sweet in spirit. Listen to his words as he hung there on the cross. So let's read from Luke chapter 23, verse number 34.
Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
So here Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. No vengeance, no bitterness, no anger. And then there was Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, who loved his people, the Jewish people. And yet they drug him out of the city of Jerusalem and began stoning him. And as his body was perishing, just before his spirit stepped out of his crushed body, his mutilated body, Stephen spoke these words in Acts 7:60.
Lord, do not hold this sin against them.
Isn't that incredible? Do not hold this sin against them. Because you see, you can live in a world of violence. You can live in a world of crime. You can live in this world in these last days and remain free of disaster's ruinous effect on your personality, in your emotions. You can remain confident, even though lack of confidence is covering the human race. The scriptures encourage us to expect rescue. Listen with me to various Old Testament scriptures. The book of Job, chapter 5, verse number 19. Here the scripture says,
"From six calamities he will rescue you. In seven, no harm will befall you."
In seven calamities, no harm will befall you, I read. And yet I have missionary friends who have died in plane accidents. And I thought, God, how can that scripture come to pass? Listen to the book of Psalms, 91, verse number 9 and 10.
"If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent."
No harm will befall you. No disaster come near your tent. I questioned that in the early years of my Christian life. How can that be? We all know of Christians who have died in car accidents, of Christians who have fallen into sin. And yet the Bible is saying, no harm will befall you. Listen to these words in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 21.
"No harm befalls the righteous."
No harm befalls the righteous. And as I consider these verses, I was just really having a tough time explaining them or understanding them. And then it came to me, God's talking about our inner self. Yes, He protects us from harm, there's no doubt about that. From physical harm, from being killed in this accident or that accident. But mainly these verses are talking about our inner self. For you see, we can't control everything that happens to us. But God helps us control everything that happens in us. It's more important what happens in us than what happens to us. So the Lord promises that in the worst of times, He will rescue us from disaster's ruinous effect, the effect of bitterness in our spirit and anger and lack of faith in God and even bitterness against the Lord. So brother, sister, you cannot control. Even Christians are not born to live in a test tube, in a sterile environment. No, tragedy strikes us. Look at Jesus, our leader, the leader of the Christian faith, the tragedies that struck him, the disasters that overtook him. But they never affected his inner person. So God helps us control what happens in us. In the worst of times, God does something else for us. He delivers us, true, from disaster's ruinous effects, but God also delivers us from fear's ruinous effect. Fear covered Jerusalem and drained everyone of their energy. Jeremiah the prophet went through times of fear. His friend Ebed-Melech faced fear and felt fear. So you cannot escape fear if you're going to live in the earth. Fear is part of living on this earth. But listen to God's promise to this Cushite, this non-Jewish man who lived in the midst of Jerusalem just before it crumbled into chaos. Jeremiah 39, verse 17.
"I will rescue you on that day, declares the Lord. You will not be handed over to those you fear."
You will not be handed over to those you fear. I think that the Lord is saying to us, you can live in a world full of fear without having any fear in your heart. God will rescue us from fear's ruinous effect. Yes, we will feel afraid, and that's no sin. Some people say that if you feel fear, that you've already failed God. That isn't true. Here's how we escape fear's ruinous effect. We need to remember that the world's fears are going to be all around us. In fact, let's read the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 21, verse number 26.
Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken.
Jesus predicted that in the last days there would be horrible fears blanketing the earth. He said, in the last days, people will faint from fear, from looking at all the disasters that are coming up on the earth. When I lived in Singapore, I often rode the taxi to my office. Taxis were very inexpensive. One day I sat in the back seat of this taxi, and as soon as I sat down, the taxi driver, who was a complete stranger to me, said in English, "What's happening to this world? Is the world doomed?" I mean, the man was totally filled with fear because of the news that was filling the world at that time. And I remember Jesus' words, "Men will faint for fear of what's coming on the earth." So fear is in the world. But the good news is, we are not part of this world. Yes, we live on planet Earth. We don't live on the moon. We don't live on Mars. We live on a fearful planet. But Jesus says that we are not part of this world. Let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 14 and verse 16.
"I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world."
Did you hear that? Jesus said, "You are not of the world any more than He is of the world." Okay, verse 16.
"They are not of the world, even as I am not of it."
There it is, repeated. What does He mean, we are not of this world? He means that basically there are two types of people on planet Earth. Those who are of God and those who are not of God. Those who are God's children and those who are not. You live in the world, but you're not part of the evil social system. The sinful social system, the mass of humanity who rejects Jesus or either has never even heard about Jesus. You are not of this world. Your citizenship is in heaven. Dolores and I lived in Singapore and in Japan. We spent time in the Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia. But we were never citizens of any of those countries. We lived in them, but our citizenship remained in America. So you live on planet Earth, but your citizenship is in the New Jerusalem. Read with me Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13. Here the Bible declares,
"For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves."
He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Now, kingdom is a Bible word for government. He has rescued us from Satan's government, Satan's jurisdiction, and brought us into the government of the Son He loves. And then, here's the clincher. Listen to what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20.
"Our citizenship is in heaven."
How plain. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are children of God. We live on earth in these physical bodies. But we belong to God. So we can choose the deliverance God promises us. He promises to deliver us from fear's ruinous effect. He doesn't promise to snatch us out of the world's fears. He doesn't promise to take us out of fear. He promises that it will not dominate us on our inside. Listen, please. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse number 46.
"Do not lose heart or be afraid when rumors are heard in the land."
That's what God says. You can hear all the news you want to, but do not lose heart when rumors are heard in the land. God basically is telling us over and over, you can choose to stay free from the effect of fear. Isaiah, please, chapter 8, verse number 12. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 declares,
"Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it."
Do not fear what the world fears, and do not dread it. God again is saying, you have the right to choose. You have the power to live in the midst of fear without letting fear enter your heart and dominate your thoughts. Look at Psalm 56, verse number 3, one of my favorite verses. It declares,
"When I am afraid, I will trust in you."
The psalmist didn't say he was never afraid. He said, when I am afraid, I purposefully choose to trust in God. Brother, sister, you are not defeated when you feel fear. You have the chance to reject it, to overcome it, to not let it affect you. One more scripture, Isaiah again, chapter 12, verse number 2. Here the Bible says,
surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid.
God is my salvation. I purpose to trust, and I purpose to not be afraid. So, brother, sister, don't let the distressing news of these days tear you down and cause your heart to faint. Hold on to the Lord. Hold on to your citizenship rights. And your citizenship rights say you can live an overcomer of fear. You will sometimes feel it. But we feel the fear, but we choose the courage. Remember, feel the fear, but choose the courage. You have the right. You have the ability. God has given you citizenship in heaven. Listen to the words of Jesus again. In fact, I want us to read two verses in Luke chapter 21. These verses show the tremendous contrast between the world, those who don't know Jesus, and those who do love Jesus. Luke 21, verse 26 says,
men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken.
Men will faint from terror for what is coming on the world. Look at two verses later. Verse number 28. Notice what he says about you and me.
When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh.
When earthquakes take place, natural disasters happen, when crime and violence spill over into the streets, when all these things take place, lift up your heads, stand up, stand your ground. You are a citizen of heaven. You don't have to be overcome by fear. You can feel the fear, but choose the courage. Lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Well, what was God's reason for giving these fabulous promises to a man trapped in Jerusalem 2,700 years ago? Why did the Lord send Jeremiah to tell Ebed-Melech, God will rescue you from disaster? You will not be handed over to those you fear. Well, the reason is given in Jeremiah chapter 39, verse number 18. Here it says,
I will save you. You will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life, because you trust in me, declares the Lord.
Last part of the verse. You trust in me. You will escape. You will be delivered. Your life will be spared because you trust in me. So, brother, sister, whenever we trust in the Lord, we can live surrounded by fear without any fear in us. We can be surrounded by bitter, cruel, mean people, but stay sweet in our attitude, because we trust in God. Look at Jeremiah, please, chapter 17, verse number 7. Beautiful little verse.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. You are blessed. God is pronouncing a blessing upon you because you trust in Him. Look at Romans, please, chapter 10. Verse number 11, here the Bible says,
anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame.
You'll never be put to shame because you trust in God. So you see, you don't have to have a perfect environment to trust in God. You don't have to live in a crime-free world. You don't have to live in a world free of violence to trust in God. In fact, it says you trust in Him, you'll never be put to shame. So you see, Satan lost control of our lives whenever we were born again. When our citizenship was transferred from earth to heaven, Satan lost control of us. But God says,
You have to choose.
You see, this thing of living for God is a partnership. God has His part, we have our part. God rescued us through the blood of Jesus, but we have our part, and our part is called trust, faith, belief, reliance on God. So sure, we feel afraid. We feel anger. We feel bitter. But we choose to overcome it all because God said, I will rescue you from the midst of tragedy. Tragedy all around, but not in us. Remember, you cannot choose what happens around you, but you can choose what happens in you. And through the power of Jesus, we're going to live in these last days, in the worst of times, victorious in our attitudes, victorious in our outlook, victorious in our faith in God and our love for Jesus. Let's go to the Lord. We love you, Jesus. You who suffered the worst of tragedies. And oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for helping us, strengthening us, encouraging us, filling us with an optimistic attitude, an optimistic outlook on life, because in the worst of times, we trust in you, and you rescue us. In the name of the Lord, amen.